Welcome, everybody, back to the NFL Recap Show. I'm your host and defending MLB champion, Actively Lazy. With me, my co-host, Joe the Brains Matz. Joe, let's start with the positive. It's been two consecutive shows where your team has won. I can't say that.
Yeah, that I suppose that is true. It's a bizarre feeling as a Giants fan. This is a 3-6 is our best start since 2016 through nine games. So that's where we're at.
If Eli was there, you'd be going on a run, buddy. You guys would finish 9-7 and win that's the right. Super Bowl every time. But yeah, so I want to apologize to the people who were looking for the show last week, but my baseball team hasn't won a World Series in, I don't know, you know, over two decades. And so it was kind of a big deal. And Joe was nice enough to allow me some reprieve because I was a little drunk anyway. And we got to finish the game. And lo and behold, they won. So we will make sure we do this every week from here on out.
That is also the only reason why my team has won the last two times that we've done this show is because we did not do one last week.
Hey, if that's what it takes for me to get two wins in a row for the 49ers, then we will do every 2 weeks. I don't care. At this point, I just want to win. Okay. I don't care how it comes. I just want to win. But speaking of winning, and yes, before we start, I did not have a great week gambling, so you won't hear too much from me about that. But this was just a bizarre week. We got a lot of upsets, a lot of damn, I didn't see that coming. Yes. I was very, very, very excited for the Mike White train to come through Indy. And you know, it takes a lot for me to get down on my boy Carson Wentz and the Colts. But Mike White only threw 11 passes and ended up getting hurt. And Josh Johnson came in and he played fairly well. He played fairly well, all things considered. The thing here, you know, the takeaway for me from that Thursday night games with the Colts and Jets is, you know, Indy really let their foot off the gas at one point, and it could have got a little dicey towards the end there.
Yeah, I mean, I think you look at most of that game is kind of what Indy wants to do. They want to stick to the running game. Taylor and Hines had 246 yards and three scores. You don't want Carson Wentz to have to carry the team. But the problem is that defense just isn't very good. I mean, like you said, White and Johnson combined for 412 yards and four touchdowns. That's obviously some of that is letting up a little too early in that fourth quarter, but this is a team that plays a lot of soft zone. And if your quarterback is making quick plays, they're going to move the ball downfield against this Colts defense.
Yeah, and you just want to avoid games like this where you need 45 to win. Like, which obviously it was the Jets only scored 30, but you gave up 30 points to the third string quarterback of the Jets. Like, I mean, it's bad enough they were already on Mike White, but Josh Johnson couldn't even make the cut on the John Doe's, and he's out here just coming in the game dry. And he threw 41 times. It was 27 for 41, 317 yards, three touchdowns, and the one interception that ultimately did them in. And then there's also, I think, a fumble that also did the Jets in, because otherwise we were probably looking at a back and forth, which would have set up for even more drama at the end.
Yeah, we gave the Titans a lot of crap for losing to the Jets, but the Titans did that without any of their starting wide receivers. If they'd had A.J. Brown and Julio Jones, it probably looks pretty similar to this game.
Yeah.
Only like one player or one play away from you win by two scores or you're in a tough fight with the Jets.
Yeah, and I got to give the Jets credit for not quitting, because at one point in this game, it was 42-16, and they clawed their way back in. So props to them on that. They are still only a two-win team. They have not won a road game yet. But the Colts, who I said, 3 weeks ago, is probably a team that should be trending up. I think we did a show. We were like, which 1-3 team would turn it around? And I think we both agreed it was going to be the Colts. They are looking to be headed in that direction. If not for some Mark Sanchez-type fuckery, They would actually be over 500 right now, or right at 500. All depends on how you look at it. All right.
And then the Jags next week. So assuming they don't do what Buffalo did this week, good chance for the Colts to get to 500 next week.
Yep. And Tyrod came back, and it doesn't look like the Texans are going to do anything still. So it is looking good for them. Switching over to, which is funny that I got the links up and I still clicked on it. A team that you want to talk about hit or miss every other week, Minnesota Vikings traveling to Baltimore, a game that went into overtime that shouldn't have went into overtime. Vikings once again show that you cannot trust them more than a week at a time. And the Ravens showing once again that, you know, at the end of the day, they're going to win games. That's just what they do. It doesn't always have to be pretty, but they win games. My issue here with this game is defensively, and it's not often that you really have deep conversations with people as NFL fans about defenses, but if the Ravens are going to continue to play this aggressive style, zero coverage blitzing that they do, they've got to stop targeting people like Justin Jefferson and
Chase toasted him.
Yeah, Jamar Chase. I'm got all my names mixed up. Basically, they need to stop targeting these shifty receivers that are good route runners because they just get tore up every time. The play that got them the first down at the end of the game for the Vikings was just unnecessary to be a man right there. Unnecessary to play that kind of cushion, and then just unnecessary to allow over, like, I think it was like 3rd and 8 or 4th and 8 or something like that. They just gave up a first down that eventually led to a touchdown. I'm like, dude, just get it together. Marquise Brown had 116 yards receiving. Yeah. Lamar threw for 266, but he threw two picks. And we're at it once again. Lamar Jackson, 21 carries, 120 yards. How he's holding up, I don't know.
Yeah. Obviously, the pros here for the Ravens, this is what, the second time this year where they've faced a second half deficit. They've come back. Lamar's been able to pass the ball. Like you said, Marquise Brown was really tearing apart the Vikings in the fourth quarter in overtime. I saw some Bateman, some Andrews. You know, this isn't the team we've seen the last couple of years where you get up on them and it's over. Obviously the worrying parts are, yeah, if Lamar Jackson goes down, it's over, which is true of most teams, but at this point it's extra true of the Ravens. I mean, Devonta Freeman and Le'Veon Bell are their running backs. It's not like they can put some other quarterback in and just lean on those backs. And then, yeah, defensively you do worry because, I mean, if you look at Marlon Humphrey in this game, played great most of the game, but they leave guys on islands, got beat for a 50-yard score. So, you know, there really is you'd like to see a little more variety from the Ravens on defense, where, like, you saw Todd Bowles last year where he switched it up in the Super Bowl. He wasn't hyper aggressive. It helped that his D-line could just destroy the Chiefs. But the point is, if they're going to go hyper aggressive every week, it's going to burn them and they're going to lose some big games, probably a playoff game. So they need to show a little more variety on the defensive side of the ball. For the Vikings, it's the same old Vikings. You know, never bet on the Vikings to win. Feel free to bet on them to cover because they just seem to win or lose by 3 points every single week.
Yeah, and to me, it just boils down to, like, I'm not necessarily asking the Ravens to reinvent the wheel. I'm just right. asking them to be respectful of the people that they're facing. Like, dude, Jefferson was so open that when Kirk Cousins was like he like pump faked and was like even hesitating, like, is this real? he was confused, like, why is he so open? I mean, all right, fine, I'll throw it, but Jesus. And it's just like, clearly the chemistry is not there with the secondary this year, and it's not a knock on people that you can't cover Justin Jefferson on an island.
Yeah.
That you can't cover Jamar Chase on an island. Like, you can't really cover any receiver in today's league with the rules that they have on an island. It's asking a lot just to have that happen. And in these situations where we're talking about a first down is really a game changer, Just play honest, man. Just play honest. Make Kirk Cousins have to make a good throw. Because in man-to-man coverage.
It's fourth and nine with the game on the line. Like, there's that's the play where you're like, oh, I trust Kirk Cousins the least in this situation.
Yeah.
So, like you said, make him beat you. It's not like we're saying the Ravens should never be aggressive. It's just change it up depending on who the receivers are on the other side, what the game situation is. Wink Martindale is a good defensive coordinator, but he can become predictable, always going for that pressure.
Yes, and they are very, very predictable in that aspect. But 6-2, 4-1 at home, that's great. Patriots went to Carolina. I can't remember the last time Carolina won a game.
It was last week.
It was the week we didn't do a show that they won. The takeaway from here is that Sam Darnold is just god awful. There's no repairing him. It doesn't matter who he's got with him on the team. It's really Darnold's not good enough.
Yeah, so since they started 3-0, Darnold has completed in the six games since then 55% of his passes for 5.5 yards per attempt, 4 touchdowns, 10 picks.
Yep.
So about as bad as you can play. And I just wanted to throw this one out there too. Robbie Anderson, after yesterday, is catching 36% of his targets. Only 49% of them are catchable. But of those catchable ones, he's dropping 23%. So Sam Darnold to Robbie Anderson is about the most pathetic thing you can see an NFL offense do right now.
Even more wild, like a crazy thing to take away from the games, is that there's really no saving Jets players. You just can't. Robbie Anderson and Darnold are a package deal. They came That's from the true. Jets. It's just no saving these guys. They're hopeless. They're hopeless. And my hesitation there, I lost my train of thought because I looked up and Ben Roethlisberger was down on the ground. But apparently he's okay. He's just being old. the Patriots just, I mean, we talked about this briefly before, but it's just something about when Belichick sees Jets players and just the team, he just turns it up on them. So Patriots are 5-4. They're the real positive here is that they're 4-0 on the road. Which is pretty good, yeah, and including traveling out west and beating the Chargers. They're 4-0 on the road. So I was talking about this on the You Got a Minute fan podcast, and I said that I thought the Bills were the team that had the most to lose from last week because, honestly, the Patriots are getting better every week. Not saying that they're going to outright beat the Bills, but saying that they're now – forming into a team that you can't make these kind of mistakes and be inefficient in the red zone and have those kind of ineffective drives that the Bills have put together the last couple weeks and expect or the last couple games and expect to come out winning. So definitely not ready to put the league on notice per se, but I am paying attention to the fact that they are showing improvement game after game so far.
Yeah, there's definitely some intrigue with the Patriots right now. Because, the defense is good. The offense seems to just do enough every single week.
Mm-hmm.
Did you think the Mac Jones play was dirty? Did you see that one where he held Burns' ankle after the sack fumble?
No, what happened?
So Burns sacked him and forced a fumble. And Jones is on the ground and he grabs Burns' ankle as the play continues. And Jones has said that he thought, Burns might have had the ball, so he's trying to make a tackle. But a couple of Panthers defenders were not buying that. And they basically openly called for the league to fine Mac Jones.
Did he, roll with the ankle or anything like that?
He didn't really roll with it. But the play is, if you see the replays, it's, the actual play where the ball is 5 yards away from them. So it's, it's possible because, you just got hit by a 250-pound human that you can be disoriented. But I could tell why the Panthers guys were upset because Burns did have to leave the game at least for a little bit after that play.
All right. Yeah, I mean, Burns is a pretty big dude. I found it – I would be shocked if he intentionally tried to do something dirty to him just because Mac Jones doesn't look like the type of guy that really wants that kind of smoke. Now, it's not like when, like, Brett Favre, I think it was Brett Favre, like, just took out some defender or something like that one time, out of the play. I guess, I don't know. I would have to look at it and see, but I'll take him at his word. At the end of the day, I mean, we're talking about a quarterback. Like, he's the most targeted person on the field, so if you got a problem with him, you know how to handle it. You can easily get him back, so. I'm not buying it. But like I said, I'll have to take a look at the video later. Browns destroyed the Bengals. Oh, what happened to my Bengals, man? Every time I find something that I love, it just lets me down every time.
Yeah, Bengals gone from the one seed in the AFC to the number 10 team in the AFC in the span of 2 weeks.
I blame Joe Burrow. He crazy, man. What? Why don't he get down, man? What is his fear of not getting hit? I've never seen that before. Like, a guy who is afraid to not get hit. Like, he just invites contact.
Yeah,
he invites contact against nutcases like Clowney. Like, after he threw the ball, he should immediately just fell to the ground. Instead, he's, like, trying to, like, brace himself to get hit. Are you crazy? What is wrong with you?
He needs to take some, like, lessons from Peyton Manning, yeah, Tom Brady, those guys where, you know, don't be retiring in 4 years because you're so banged up. Like, stick around for a while, Joe Burrow, because you're going to be good if you do.
Do you buy the Browns are better without Odell argument?
At this point, it might just be true. Like, I've been resistant to it the whole time, but maybe it is true, because it seems like every single time he's not there, they are better. I don't have a good explanation for it. I think a lot of people who make that argument just hate Odell Beckham, which I do not. But at this point, the evidence seems to say that they are a little bit better without him.
Yeah, and I don't buy it either. I just had this argument with Ronnie. And again, it's just... To me, there's issues with Baker, issues with
it's style of play. Yeah.
And he definitely deserves some criticism. Just like Baker deserves some criticism and the coaching staff deserves some criticism. But at the end of the day, I don't think you can say a team is better when you underutilize somebody and then you win games when they're not around. Like, if that's the case, then he's basically... Like, cause I don't see it on film, like him holding the team back. That's why I'm confused. Like, how do you get better? You don't use him when he's on the field, and he's not on the field now. So what's the difference? Like I don't understand it. But
yeah,
you know,
and even if the Browns are for whatever reason, you know, quote unquote better without him, that even if I agree with that at this point, just because I guess I can't argue against it. I do think he can help some other team. I don't think, like, OBJ is someone you should not want on your team right now, especially if you're Green Bay, you're Kansas City, you're one of these teams that needs that second or third option. Like, I think he could be a big help to those teams.
Why is Justin Fields under center? I swear Matt Nagy's, like, trying to, like, lose his job. He's an idiot. He's an idiot. It feels
like he wants to lose his job based on, like, the entire last year.
Just bring back, who is it, Lazard, the coach, the offensive coordinator calling the plays. Just let him do it, man. Like, this is ridiculous. Speaking of ridiculous, how about them Cowboys? Broncos 30, Cowboys 16.
I like this one.
Yeah, it should have been a whole lot worse. All I know is Teddy Covers is back, baby. I respect you, Teddy. You know, I almost disrespected you a little bit. On the podcast, I did say I was leaning Dallas. I had Dallas in my super contest all the way up until about 40 minutes before kickoff, and I was like, I can't do it. 10 points is a lot, man. 10 points is a lot. And so I took them out, and I actually would have had – all losses, if not for switching the Cowboys out for the Packers, which I'll explain that later. But yeah, the takeaway here is that, you know, Cowboys are not going to go 17-0, but this is an ugly loss. It's an ugly loss.
This is one of my pet peeves in sports, and I'm convinced that it's bad luck anytime a team does it, is when they go outside their team colors for part of an alternate uniform. And I know that, you know, the red stripe on the Cowboys helmet was to honor the armed forces before Veterans Day. But you can't convince me that's not why they lost so badly. I mean, there was a play in the second half where they blocked a Denver punt on 4th and 14. That play ended in a Denver first down. This was just everything that could go wrong went wrong. You know, Dak, I think it was coming into this game, completing 72% of his passes. Before the two scores they got in garbage time after they were down 30-0, he was 8-for-23 to start this game. Like, Dak couldn't complete a pass. Broncos corners, their starting corners, gave up a combined 1 reception. They just completely shut down the pass offense. And like you said, yeah, Teddy B, this is what we want to see from him. He was efficient. You know, it helps that they're finally, that offense is healthy again. They've got all their skill guys for the most part. And Javonte Williams is just a beast. I mean, 111 yards, 17 carries, 7 missed tackles on those carries. I mean, Melvin Gordon's still perfectly fine, but they need to give the ball even more to Javonte Williams.
I don't think it was a good balance. I mean, for a dual back set, 21 carries on Melvin's part, 17 for Williams. You can make an argument.
I mean, that's in a game that they were leading the whole way, though, too. Yeah. So, I mean,
I would make an argument that it's stylistically, I think they're doing it right. I'm not too upset. I just need more targets for Jerry Jeudy. That's all. It's my only complaint with their offense. Jerry Jeudy should have 15 targets a game. I don't care what anybody says. He had 8 yesterday. That's not enough.
Probably would be more if the Cowboys had made this a game at all.
I will say this. The only good positive about this is that now I can stop hearing about Diggs being the next Deion and this and that.
No.
I like the guy. I like him a lot. He's got a lot of growing up. He needs to polish his game a little because it is feast or famine. It's pick, pass interference, or getting beat. It's like it's not a true shutdown corner style of play right now. And he's super young, so he's got plenty of time. And yeah. He's well ahead of the projected trajectory of where you would expect him to be at this point in his career.
And he was a second round pick too, right? Am I remembering that correctly? You know,
I can't remember exactly which round he went in. I don't think he was a first round pick. I think I had him at a first round pick based off his measurements and his.
Yeah, he was a second round.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. So I thought at that time that it was a pretty good pick for them, like as far as like still goes, because I had him projected first round and they got him in the second. So that makes sense. One other takeaway here is how out of sync the Cowboys were. The leading receiver was Dalton Schultz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so, like I said, starting corners for the Broncos gave up 1 reception in this game. So there was nothing going on outside until the very end of the game. And what do you think about McCarthy leaving in a banged up Dak to try to score garbage points to like avoid a shutout in the last 6 minutes of this game?
The same thing I always think. McCarthy's an idiot. he's the worst game manager of time, man. Of all time. I'm utterly disgusted. Oh, dang. They really called that a catch? I was going to say, so Justin Fields finally had a really good throw on a deep pass and looked like Godwin dropped it, but apparently they called it a catch. Dang, that's interesting. Anyway, speaking of dropping the ball, the Bills. we've seen baseball scores higher than this. Bills 6, Jags 9. Urban Meyer beat the Bills. You know, I didn't give Ronnie enough shit for this because you know he's been asking me to apologize for my McDermott slander, but I think I can bring it back now.
There's nothing good about – I mean, I guess the Buffalo defense can feel okay about that game, but, man, otherwise the whole offense should be feel embarrassed about how that went. And, yeah, the coaching staff is definitely not immune from criticism on losing to the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, it's pathetic. McDermott's awful. Josh Allen didn't play good. Actually, I take that back. Josh Allen did play good. It's just – You know, and that was your thing. I when I saw that stat, I was like, damn, this motherfucker Joe probably hype as hell. Like, oh, I love it. History. Josh Allen, sacking Josh Allen. Somebody text me and was like, oh, I thought Josh Allen was an MVP. I was like, he is. He's got like two sacks and an interception. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I mean, Josh Allen really did do everything yesterday for that Jaguars defense, which famously for Giants fans who were chanting for us to take Josh Allen, we took Daniel Jones instead. But yeah, Josh Allen, what, did he get a pick too? I can't remember. Yeah, he did, yeah. So he had a pick and a fumble recovery from his fellow Josh Allen, which, yes, that is history. That is the first time that has ever happened, either of those things. So,
poor Bears.
The Bills, I am a little bit worried about their offense in the same, not to the same degree, but similar vein to the Chiefs offense, where I think they're just becoming a little too predictable. Like, Brian Daboll going all in on passing on first downs and or even second and longs just constantly. You know, that caught people off guard at the start of last season. Now it's become their normal thing. Teams are just all out. We're going to just contain this passing offense. And it's become a little bit stale.
Yeah, it's stale, and they just can't figure out how to run the ball. I refuse to believe that Devin Singletary and Zach Moss are not good running backs. I think it's a scheme thing. And I've been saying that for quite some time. And what I'm hoping for is that they figure it out.
I mean, the good news for them, I mean, obviously the Patriots are making it interesting in the East. But, you know, the AFC, everything is just a mess out there outside of the Titans and maybe the Ravens. Everyone else is clumped together. So they should have time to figure this out. And, of course, they still get to play the Jets and the Dolphins, which always helps.
Yeah, just saw Justin Fields look like he got a concussion and he's about to throw a pass. This is why we like Matt Nagy. Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, I've been looking over at this game from time to time just so confused as to what the hell the Bears are doing. Texans, Dolphins, I had the Texans. I know,
if there was a game uglier than the Jags Bills, it was this one.
I had the Texans. I thought the Texans were going to do
it. I did too, man.
They just couldn't get right, man. I mean, it was a battle of who's going to be worse, and the Texans just happened to be worse.
Yeah, combined 9 sacks, 9 turnovers, and it was a 5-4 split on both of them. This wasn't one team taking the lead on those. Yeah, I thought Tyrod was going to be a spark for this offense, but Miami came heavy. They blitzed him a majority of his dropbacks. He had 3 picks. Hopefully people did not watch this game, but one of those picks was him running out of bounds and shot putting it basically straight to a Miami defender on the sideline. They had 4 red zone trips and scored 9 points. So that kind of sums up the Texans in this game and in this season.
Yeah, I still ask, what's the difference between Jacoby and Tua when it comes to this offense?
But what would you put the odds at that Tua is the starting quarterback week one for Miami next year?
Right now, with Deshaun Watson not having settled his case, I would say it's still pretty high. It's probably like minus 200. Like, if Deshaun Watson settles his case and they are open to a trade, it's probably plus 500.
Yeah. If there's another semi-reasonable option, I feel like he's gone.
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, I don't think they're going to replace him with Jacoby Brissett, but
no.
And then they don't really have the picks to go into the draft and do it either. But Aaron Rodgers will be on their radar because we know they like to spend money. So there's that. Spending money, Falcons, Saints. We know Matty Ryan has got all the money, man. At one point, he was the highest paid quarterback at one point, eons ago. But Matt Ryan and the Falcons won. They beat the Saints 27-25. My 4-year-old called it. I don't know if you saw the clip, but we asked him Falcons, Saints. He said Falcons. So he's smarter than his father.
I was going to say, I'm just going to start taking his advice on bets.
No, I'm just playing. I had the Falcons, too. I people keep bringing this up like it's some super upset, but Trevor Siemian's not that good, and Taysom Hill's not good at all. So it wasn't really that shocking. I mean, the real shock was that it was close, but that's just how the Falcons do.
Weird thing to me is the Saints defense, because this is a defense that we've seen a number of times, including last week against Tampa Bay, where this looks like a top five, maybe like the as good a defense as there is in the NFL. And then you see a game like this where Matt Ryan torched them 343 yards. My Giants, probably give or take the Washington game, which is a defense that is bad. The best we've looked on offense was against the Saints. And I don't really have an explanation for exactly what goes on with the Saints, where they just seem to have these kind of random letdown games defensively. Because that's the key to this team, especially now that you're stuck with Siemian and Hill at quarterback. The defense needs to perform at a high level. If this team, I mean, they'll probably make the playoffs anyway, because the NFC's, once you get past those top five teams, it's pretty trash. I mean, the Falcons are the number seven seed right now. But if they're going to make any noise, this defense has to be a little more consistent.
I still think that the Saints are getting held back a little by Sean Payton, which is odd to say, but I just don't feel like they take the chances that they used to. And I don't know if it's because he's not confident in his quarterbacks, and I get it if he's not, but that didn't stop him from taking shots still. Like Taysom Hill, I feel like Taysom Hill was afforded more shots than we've seen from Jameis Winston. When Jameis Winston takes his shot, he's just going off the grid because he's crazy. But I don't think that's the design. And it seems like Peyton gets frustrated, which is weird because that was the offense under Drew Brees, the shot up the seam. Like, it was always the staple
of
the
season. Yeah, back when Drew Brees had the arm strength, watch out for that.
Yeah, and I know Jameis got the arm strength. If he ain't got the accuracy, he's got the arm strength.
Well, I mean, Jameis is out for the entire season right now.
Yeah. Am I wrong about that? But even when he was in, you didn't.
Right. It was still a very conservative offense.
Yeah. But the one thing before we switch to the next game, only the Falcons could be up by so many points and give up 22 in the fourth quarter and make it a game. Like, just, ugh. Only the Falcons.
That is the truth.
New York Giants.
They were losing, too. I mean, they had to kick that game-winning field goal. So, yeah, only the Falcons, indeed.
New York Giants.
Woo!
Two wins in a row. I don't care. We're going to act like last week didn't happen. So, you got two wins in a row.
Nice.
How you going to act, Giants? Nobody knows. 23-16. Obviously, the Ruggs news was right. Probably
tough to deal with.
To the Raiders. And all things considered, I think they played well. I really expected them not to really have their heads in the game, but it seems like they did. Big news for them, kind of maybe, is that they got DeSean Jackson, who for the most part should allow them to stretch the field in the way that Ruggs was designed to do in that offense. Like, they have to have a speed guy. They had to have somebody that is a vertical threat. Even if he doesn't necessarily command the same type of attention he used to, they need to have that person to kind of put that fear into defenses in order for Hunter and Waller to really work underneath. We got Danny Nichols. It wasn't Dimes. Got Danny Nichols. It wasn't Penny.
Him to do a lot in this game.
Yeah. Devontae Booker had 99 yards rushing, though. That's pretty good. And Evan Engram had a man-type catch. I don't care if he only had 38 yards. His catch was pretty legit.
Yeah. For the Giants, it's been a weird season in that the last three games have been the team I expected to see this year, where the defense is pretty good. They make plays when they need to. And then it's just kind of find out what the offense gives you from week to week. To your point also about the Raiders needing that guy to stretch the field and the Giants being better about preventing big plays recently. Carr, 4 of 13 for 84 yards and a pick on throws 10 plus yards downfield. Xavier McKinney, huge for the Giants, two picks, one of them returned for a score. That was kind of the key play of the game. And of course, I always love to hate on some coaching. So I've got some negative things to say about both coaching staffs in this game. Paul Bisaccia, I honestly don't know if I'm saying that last name right, but he is the interim coach for the Raiders. He was penalized by the football gods for his cowardice when he opted to kick a field goal on 4th and 3 from the Giants 7 when trailing by 4 with under 10 minutes to play. If you're in the last 10 minutes and you're down 4 and it's remotely close, you should never be kicking a field goal because it's a one score game that you turn into a one score game. And so naturally, Daniel Carlson, who had never missed from under 30, shanked the field goal left. Shortest miss of the season for any kicker, 25 yards. That's part of the reason they lost. Giants, this is on Garrett and Joe Judge, because I don't think it's all Garrett deciding to be hyper-conservative. Giants threw the ball on all three of their first downs on the opening touchdown drive. 16 out of their next 19 first downs, they led off with a run. They scored 9 points the rest of the way. This hyper-conservative thing, if this Giants defense was the 2001 Raven or 2000 Ravens, sure, that's fine. That works. This defense isn't that good. They're lucky that Derek Carr was off in this game. Otherwise, that hyper-conservative offense would have lost the Giants this game, as it kind of did last week and back in, week 2 against Washington.
Yep. And you would think he would get over that, but I don't know, man. And again, maybe we're just not taking into consideration that the team's just not that confident in the talent that they have. But I don't see why you would get guys like Evan Ingram, Kadarius Toney, and Galladay and be ultra conservative.
I mean, we've got our bye, and then we've got Tampa Bay. So if we're coming out healthy, I think it is on the road. I'm not sure, though. But if we're coming out and we're playing conservative with what I'm assuming will by then be a pretty healthy offense, I know Saquon should be back. Galladay was back this game. If we're playing conservative against the Tampa Bay Bucks, then there's just no fixing Joe Judge and Jason Garrett when it comes to this.
They're the same person. Don't tell nobody. speaking of conservative, Chargers are not that. Chargers, no. Eagles, Chargers won 27-24. Even I was like, just kick the ball, bro. Just kick the ball. It was 4th and 1. Just kick the ball. And he went for it. And, I mean, he still won by 3. It was the same thing. But either way, the coach for the Chargers, he just plays roulette, man. He don't care.
That's why I love Brandon Staley. He's my guy.
He's your guy until he does that dumb shit and it loses him a game. It hasn't cost him a game yet, really. And that's probably why. Keenan Allen got off. Devontae Smith got off. Dedicated the game to Ruggs. We talked about that on You Got a Minute, Fam. So we won't necessarily hit on that here. Jalen Hurts didn't turn the ball over, but still there's always these like subtle inefficiencies in converting third downs or extending drives that ultimately hurts the team, which no pun intended, but he didn't play awful. It was a pretty entertaining game if you got to catch it.
Yeah, this was a good one. The Eagles decided to show up before the fourth quarter, which is always nice when they do that. Just pretty well-played game overall. Justin Herbert, this is as good as he's looked. He was fantastic in this game. And like you said, you know, had a 4th and 1 with a couple minutes left, decided to convert it, and was able to run out the clock. So I love it, Brandon Staley. Keep doing you. To be fair, if you have the Chargers offense, it makes sense to be more aggressive than some other teams. But I love that he's doing that, and I hope it continues. Give me a Chargers-Ravens AFC championship where just both coaches are going for every 4th down. That's what I'm rooting for.
I might take that. It all depends. It all depends. Packers-Chiefs. Jordan Love made his debut, and we want to send them back to where he came. he looked exactly like he looked at Utah State. I don't know how you sit for 2 years and you come out and look exactly the same. It's like they didn't try to coach you up at all. But it was enough to cover. But 13-7, man, what is going on with my Chiefs?
Right? I feel like as bad as Jordan Love looked, and I'm sure that, you know, some Packers fans are going to freak out about it. If I wasn't like you and not a believer in Jordan Love before this game, I don't know that I would read too much into your first start on the road in Arrowhead against a Steve Spagnuolo defense. Because even if the Chiefs defense isn't great, Spags is going to scheme up some stuff you haven't seen if you're a rookie or second year guy making your first start. But I mean, if you're Green Bay, though, you just go, hey, if our quarterback wasn't an insane person, he would have played. We would have won this game pretty easily because the Kansas City offense is a mess.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've kept repeating like on this podcast and the fantasy podcast about how Mahomes had like three or four games in his entire career before this year held under 6 yards per attempt. And I think we're like three straight now in this season. And I believe five of like the nine games, 4.5 yards per attempt in this one. It's again, teams are just sitting back in a too high. They're forcing Mahomes to take the checkdowns over and over again, and he doesn't want to do it. And sometimes he forces things. This game, it didn't lead to any killer interceptions like it has in some other games. But I'm not going to totally bet against this team figuring it out because I believe in this offensive coaching staff to adjust. But they need to do it sooner rather than later because Broncos looked good. The Raiders should rebound from what they were today. The Chargers have been inconsistent but talented, and they already have a win over Kansas City. So
the main issue is that a lot of the plays are designed outside the numbers, which is weird because that's just not really the base like attacking spot for Andy Reid plays. Like there's always
you have Travis Kelce too.
Yeah, there's always something over the middle to work in space. Like Andy's real genius is his ability to get his playmakers the ball in space and allow them to get yards after the catch. Like that's in every offense he's ever had, and in every offense he's the playmakers he's went after have always been guys who you think operate in space. Sometimes the space is vertical and that's fine, but that's not where he's looking to attack you often. Often he's attacking you underneath to open up the vertical stuff. Whereas now it might be, I mean, you can almost make an argument that they're going in reverse. Like there is more vertical dynamic. And I don't know if it's because Patty's not willing to accept the fact that people are playing him to check down or what. But like you were saying, like it's resulting in some turnovers, some awful passes. Even his checkdowns are on the sides now. And his offensive line isn't that great. And it's
still not great.
Yeah, it's actually the interior that I see most of the issues with. When I watched all 22s on pretty much all their games this past week. I was going to do a video on it, but it's just so much damn work. But at some point, I'm going to show everybody like the all 22 stuff that I've been watching. And in this case, when you see the change in Patrick Mahomes' stats, it comes against people basically playing too deep or just playing a simple cover three variation with buzz zones on the sides. Nobody's really playing the flats. They're allowing Kelce and the running backs to get into that 5 yard space, and then they collapse. And a lot of it's because Patty don't have a lot of time, but the rushes are 3 to 4 men. They're not doing a lot of blitzing, and he's not having enough time. And again, the plays are not designed well enough, which I can't believe I'm being critical of an Andy Reid offense. Yeah. I've never been critical of Andy Reid offense, but it's one of those things where after the bye week, I would hope that they figured it out. And the minute that he starts throwing the ball back across the middle of the field, I think we'll start seeing these numbers go up again. Like 37 passes by Patrick Mahomes back in the last two seasons would have been like 350, you know. Mm-hmm. 37 yards yesterday was 4.5 yards. And I'm going out on a limb and saying that the Packers still don't have their two starting cornerbacks, I don't think.
I know Alexander is still out.
All right, Kevin King was out there. But, yeah, Alexander's still out. He's really the shutdown guy. So
right.
It wasn't a good look, but a win is a win, and they needed that win. So kudos to them for that. Not going to spend a lot of time on this game. Niners suck. Cardinals are the team to beat.
I mean, the Cardinals doing that without, I mean, AJ Green is, you know, solid, but without Hopkins and without Kyler Murray, that's a, you know, the Niners defense has been pretty good for the most part this year. So Colt McCoy and James Conner tearing it up is a bit of a surprise.
Like I've been saying, the play calling, the offense acts like they've got the Patrick Willis, what's his name? Patrick Willis, Navarro Bowman, Alden Smith defense, or the Bosa rookie season defense. We don't have that. So you need to score. 17 points on those defenses with those defenses was a win. 17 points now, we're losing by 14. Yes, because we're a defense is going to give up. When you factor in all the pass interference calls that they get, your defense is going to give up at least 28 a game, man. We have to score.
Three turnovers, too, obviously, hurts both sides of the ball there.
I don't even want to. Jimmy Garoppolo is so basic. I didn't champion him when we got him. I made jokes about Jimmy G spot because he was with the porn star and I thought it was catchy and it was funny. When he was game managing, he was fine, but now he's not even doing that effectively. Get him out of here.
I mean, the one good news for the Niners is obviously Kittle looked great coming back. Ayuk seems to be fully involved in the offense again. So, I mean, that gives, you know, Jimmy a solid group of playmakers there, those three plus Elijah Mitchell. But, I mean, 3-5 now. I mean, again, it's only a game out because the Falcons are the 7 right now. So the Niners shouldn't be giving up yet. But, you know, losing that decisively to, again, Colt McCoy being the starting quarterback and going 22 of 26 is a worrying.
Our dickhead coach doesn't want Ayuk in the offense. So I don't know how much Ayuk's going to do. It's got to be a game-by-game basis. They had this man on the coach's decision did not playlist at the beginning of the year. I don't understand. We wasted a first-round pick on this guy. But either way, Niners are a hot mess. We're 3-5. I got maybe 2 more weeks where I can say that it's still time to turn it around because we're definitely getting to that point where it's not time to turn it around. We just time to pack it in. They're 0-4 at home, and that is very, very bad. So Niners need to figure it out fast. Cardinals are 5-0 on the road and 8-1 overall. Colt McCoy, we got a QB controversy. No, I'm joking. But Colt McCoy looked great. He also did this without AJ Green, without DeAndre Hopkins, with just James fucking Conner.
I mean, and the Cardinals are really the big winners of this weekend when you look at it, because you have Dallas losing, you have Green Bay losing, Tampa Bay already lost 2 weeks ago for their second loss, the Rams losing, as we're about to get to. So, I mean, yeah, they're now the lone one-loss team in a crowded group at the top, so that helps them a lot going forward.
It's bullshit. All right, Rams, Titans. Titans 28, Rams 16. I will say this, and this is me being very serious. As much as I love Matt Stafford. Damn, I was about to call him Matt Ryan. As much as I love Matthew Stafford, I think that what people are doing to the Titans defense and team in general is a little disrespectful. That was a hell of a coach game by Vrabel and that staff. To come prepared like they did to from a defensive standpoint, the way they attacked Matt Stafford and the way they attacked the offense of the Rams, I thought it was just perfect. They did just enough on offense themselves not to lose the game. And if you got somebody to turn the ball over like Stafford did, then that's honestly good enough. And that might be their formula going forward, is just do enough not to lose the game and let the defense take over. They have not been known for having a great defense, but they mixed up their coverages and whatnot so well that it really just had everybody confused on the Rams side.
Yeah, a lot of credit to the Titans defensive coaching staff, because this was looking like one of the worst defenses in the league for the first month. Again, you know, say what you will about not having your wide receivers against the Jets, but the Jets offense looked pretty good against this Titans defense. And you know, obviously that Kansas City game looks a little bit less impressive now, but they still held them without a touchdown. And then this game, fantastic. Like you said, mixing up the coverages, and then their defensive line has just been fantastic recently. I know Jeffrey Simmons had a huge game yesterday, 3 sacks, 8 pressures. And then, yeah, the game really turned on those back-to-back Stafford interceptions where they scored a touchdown off of one and then just had a straight-up pick six off the other. And then the Rams just could never figure it out to close the gap in this one. And I thought it was ridiculous last week when news broke of Derrick Henry being out probably for the remainder of the regular season, or at least close to it. And seeing like multiple clips on ESPN of, you know, Stephen A. Smith and somebody else saying, oh, the Titans season is over. I mean, even if they'd lost this game, like, this is still a team that gets to play Houston and Jacksonville and Miami. They have 4 games against those two teams. They have like essentially a 4-game lead in the division going into this week. They were going to make the playoffs regardless. And now, I mean, shoot, they're right up there for the number one seed. We'll see if they can hold on to that without Derrick Henry. But, you know, if this D line can play that way and get pressure on people, and, you know, I don't think Ryan Tannehill's a bad quarterback, especially when he's working with AJ and Julio. So, you know, I doubt they hang up there for the number one seed, but I would, even with the Colts playing much better recently, considering they already swept them, I think the Titans are going to get into the playoffs. They're going to win this division. And Derrick Henry should hopefully be back by the time. Again, the playoffs don't roll around till the middle of January now. So this Titans team, they're looking for real. They're one of the teams I've been most wrong about going back to the start of the season.
If Derrick Henry is back, I would be shocked. That kind of injury is tough. So I would be shocked. But yeah, so this has been week 9. I don't have anything to really slander. I'm done slandering, believe it or not. Right now, we are going into the fourth quarter of the Bears-Steelers game, and the refs are doing everything they can to help the Steelers close this thing out. But it's 2013 Steelers right now with 14 minutes left in the game. You got anything you want to plug before you go?
No, just listen to the pods, listen to your picks, which I'm sure will rebound after last week.
Yeah, I'm on fade alert, man. Even my own child's fading me, man.
Dude, the tough break for you to have the week that you go 5-0 is the one where the pod goes wrong. If it had happened this week, it would have saved you a lot.
I know, man. I know. But yeah, we'll continue to keep putting out content, and I'm not afraid to talk about my losses. I did hit a nice exacta or trifecta this weekend on the Breeders' Cup, but they don't pay me around here for my horse picks. They pay me for my picks. So I'll continue to get better at that. Joe, thanks for joining me. Make sure you guys listen to the FanDuel DraftKings Daily Fantasy Podcast. They do make money over there. So make sure you listen.
I will admit our picks this last week were also a bit rough. You know, you don't expect the Bills to score 6 points, so
yeah, it was just one of those crazy weeks too. I mean, are they just not gonna call holdings tonight? This is crazy to me. But anyway, let me finish watching this game. I appreciate you for coming out, man, and everybody, like, subscribe, share, and we're out.